Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrew will be at the picnic today.
Yeah,
definitely, they will be there. Okay, we're going to do a hangman's loose here. I'm only kidding. You all look so serious. Hey, Shane, how you doing? How's Preston and Ethan? All good? He's got two gorgeous young boys. If you see them, give them a high five. Okay, Greg, can you untangle that for me and throw it over there for us? Or hang on, let me do this. Watch your heads. You two move.
How good is that?
Just don't touch it. Sandy, can you do that? I'll give you $10 if you can do that. Please don't fall. Stay there. I planned that. Oh, praise the Lord. He really is funny. He does have a sense of humour. Oh, great. Great to be here in the house of God today. Great to see all you funny, happy, you all look like happy jelly beans. How you doing? You married yet? You are. How long?
10 years.
How can you be married 10 years if you look like you're 22? You look beautiful, both of you. Fantastic. Okay, this year our theme is about being stronger. Okay, and so I thought that I will just share on some things that will help us to be stronger. But first of all, I just want to just share a little bit about myself. This is my intro, okay, and that is that I'm a butcher by trade. And when I was an apprentice, and I was 19 years of age, that's when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And probably about, I don't know if it was 6 months after, my boss had two butcher shops. He had one in Padbury, had one in, sorry, Sandra, look at you, you made me laugh, and one in Mullaloo. And so, he asked me to look after the Mullaloo store. It was just a small store. And from time to time, I'd also go to the Padbury one. So anyway, so I'm at the Mullaloo butcher shop, right? And I'm at the back. There's the front counter. I'm at the back. And I'm just quietly just cutting away. I'm on my own. And there's this silence. Everything just went quiet. Just quiet. I couldn't hear anything. But everything was just silence. And there was this voice. And it said to me, "Do you want to follow me? Do you want to follow me?" That was the voice. "Do you want to follow me?" And I looked around and there's nobody there. And again, "Charlie, do you want to follow me?" And I recognized then, I thought, this is something of God here. And I said, "Yes, I do." Then it was, "Charlie, do you really want to follow me?" I got a little bit emotional. And "Yes, Lord, I really want to follow you." And then the silence just dissipated. I just went on with my work and I was like, what was all that about? Didn't quite get it, to be honest with you, but I'm following Jesus. I thought I always was. I thought I was since I was, 6 months previous. We had a gentleman rock up and he delivered some carcasses of meat. And for no reason at all, he just started to abuse me. I thought, what's this? Where's this coming from? And it was just really, really, it was just horrible. Felt yuck and everything. Anyway, he left, and then about 30, 40 minutes later, my boss came in, and he was just really nasty as well. And I said, "I'll grab your knives, head down to, Padbury." So I went down there, and so I was down at the store there helping the boys out. And things were just getting nastier and nastier, and they were mocking me about my faith, and I hadn't even talk to them about the Lord. They knew that I was a Christian, but they just started to mock me, abuse me. They were knocking the church. And I felt so under pressure. I can remember that I was sweating. I was like, I was suffocating. Everything was tense. And I just didn't quite understand what was going on. And they were talking about people in church. You know, they're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, church, they just want your money, you know. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. But I remember saying to them, I says, let me tell you one thing. So I know that Jesus is real. I held on to that. Jesus is real. I know Jesus is real. I came to know later that people in church, they weren't like that. And the church weren't just after your money, obviously. But in that time, it was about 2 or 3 days that I just went through this real torrid time. It was just really, really horrible. And at that time, I remember we never used to run home groups or connect groups, but we had like all the youth and the young adults would just meet at our church. And we'd just have big meetings like this. And the youth pastor, the young adult pastor, whoever would speak. And that's what it would be like. And I just remember, as I walked into the building, I just sensed this stuff off me just fall. And I felt, oh, I feel like I can breathe. Anyway, I remember that evening heading back home. And there was a period of my life where I would just seek God a lot. I'd read the Word. I loved the Word of God. And I was just saturating myself with the Word of God. And this is one of the scriptures that I read. And it's in James chapter 1, chapter 2 to verse 4. Let's read it together, right? My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. The greatest joy that you can. Serious? I didn't experience any joy, let me tell you. But let's keep going. When your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Trials and tribulations. These are challenges. You know, maybe we will face difficulties in our life. You will face challenges. You will face difficult times. And when we do, we sometimes think, why is this happening to me? Doesn't God care? These are some dangerous thinking. We think, doesn't God care? Doesn't He love us? Is He really there? What have I done wrong? We start to self-analyze. We get into doubt. And we go all over the show. So why on earth does it tell us? Why on earth does it tell us to count it all joy? Why on earth does it tell us to embrace the challenges? Why does it tell us to see it as a green light, as something positive? Not as a red light, as, oh, I'm not going down that track. Why does it do that? This is where we find strength. There is more strength in you than you know. Let me tell you, there is. There's more strength in you than you know. Various trials. Maybe sometimes when you're given the gauntlet and you might not want to, I don't want to run this gauntlet. I don't want this cup. I want this cup to pass from me. It's going to come back to you. The cup will come back to you until you run with it, until you take on this trial head on, as you follow Jesus. Now, if I was to ask you, how many of you are happy to have a trial in your life? I bet you that won't come in your top 10 things that you want. Definitely not. Maybe not in the top 10, 50. Maybe not in the top 100. But we have to go through it. Otherwise, it will come back to you. So we might as well face it and go through them. God is not sending you through the trials to show you what you're not. He's sending you trials to show you who you are. Because when we get born again and we have the life of God in us, we don't realize what we've got in here. Really, you don't realize. And when trials come, when attacks come, it stirs up the resurrection life in you. And it reveals and it shows to you how good and how great God is. I know I personally put some trials on myself. I like to cycle. And when I go to Sicily on a holiday, I like to cycle the big hills. I like to cycle the mountains. I just love it. Some of them I'd never done. And one day I was there. I'd gone for a short ride. And there's this mountain that takes you up to Nasa. And it really starts off really steep. And then it just kind of pans out a bit and you get there. I rode up. Got to the first leg, the second leg, the third bend, and I was done. I was off my bike. I remember my mobile phone ringing, my wife's ringing me, when will you be back home? It's breakfast time. And I was panting so much that my wife said to me, are you okay? You sound like you're having a heart attack. That's how hard it was. So anyway, I slowly rode back down the hill, rode home, had my breakfast. Spent time with the family, but I couldn't get over this hill. I was like, I've got to get this hill. I've got to get to the top. How am I going to do this? So I began to think about it through the night. Morning time came, went for my little ride, warmed myself up, and I hit the mountain. I got to the first level, got to the second, got to the third. They were the hardest. Got to the fourth, I was still hard. The fifth, still quite hard. Because in Italy, they go like this. And then they go round and they wind all the way up to the top. And I thought, wow, that's really good. I thought, well, I'm probably the halfway point now. And I just kept on. And eventually, I'm getting closer and closer to the top. And I'm beginning to think, wow, I'm going to make this. I started to get quite excited. It's quite thrilling, actually. And eventually, I made it to the top. And I was just so thrilled. I rode into the piazza. There's a cafe there. I dare not go into the cafe because I was sweating crazily. So I went to the well where they have water always running, had some water, cooled off. About 30 minutes later, went in and had myself a coffee. Trials. Trials are there for us. They are there to stir us because there are muscles in your body. As you know, when you do something that's different, you stir up a different muscle in your body and it's like, oh, wow, ouch, ouch. So God stirs up that spiritual muscle in you, that faith in Him. He stirs that up to show you, hey, come on, you can get through this. Why does he do that? Because He wants to build endurance within you. He's not building a flaky person. He's building a person of character, of great character, of great form. He wants to bring you into a place of maturity. And so He's building endurance. He's building steadfastness in you. He's building patience in you. And these are important attributes. You don't want to be driving on the road, you get a flat tire and you lose it. Please. You don't want to be getting upset at the first little thing in life that upsets you. We hold on. We hold on to our God. We hold on to the living God. We don't let go. Watch out, you guys. We hold on. We don't let go. Perseverance, endurance. To show that there is more in you than you think, we have to learn perseverance, endurance, patience, resilience. God shapes us in the trials. He builds character within us. How can we find joy in trials? I'll get to that. There is a strength inside of you that you didn't realize. But every trial, perseverance must finish its work in you. God doesn't want you lacking anything. Imagine looking at a trial with a green light, as I said. God wants to reveal how big and how great He is when you're going through a trial, where maybe you're going through a spiritual attack. God reveals to you His authority of how you can defeat the devil. I had times when I'd wake up in the night. I feel like someone was strangling me. And I remember just this voice, hearing a voice. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. And as I prayed that, I felt free. I've had times when I've sensed horrible, ugly things facing me. But within me, Christ rises up and defeats negativity, defeats the powers of darkness. Because you will come under attack. You will come under fire. The thing is, when? Can we go to Deuteronomy, please? Chapter 8 and verse 1 to verse 5. Let's have a look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. Let's read this together. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The word of God, folks, is His word. That is the mouth of God to you. That is God speaking to you and I. It's important for us that we stay in the word of God so that we can hear the voice of God. We can hear God speak to us. It's really, really vital. The word of God is your lifeline. It's your lifeline. It's what connects you and keeps you close to your Heavenly Father, holding on to those promises, and don't let go. Holding on, don't let go. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Next one. Okay, verse 5, thank you. You see, there is more in you than you know. There's more inside of you than you know. You're a lot bigger inside of you than what you think. There's a lot more inside of you that you can handle than what you think right now. There's more strength in you than you know. And I encourage you, we don't want to go round and round the mountain. When you're faced with a trial, don't face it on your own. Face it leaning and trusting in the living God. Because you can do this, you can make it. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5, the children of Israel were enslaved. They were captive under Babylonian rule and the Persian rule. They lost their house, their homes, they lost their finances, even they lost their faith at times. I know there's people in life, you will lose finances. You can lose many things. You can lose your land. Do you want to hear a funny money story? My wife and I were dating, and we went to the movies. And all we could afford was just going to the movies. And after the movies, we walked out. This is in the city of Perth, and I had to make a phone call. I had like 20 or 30 cents left. I had to make this phone call. So I went over to the telephone booth. Back then, young people, there was a telephone box with this telephone in it, and there was a cord attached to this. And you put money in it, and you press the number you want to ring. Yes. They were the signs of the times, I tell you. That was modern technology. Anyway, so I made this phone call, and then when I finished, I hit the telephone box. I just hit it, and money came out of the little slot. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And I hit it again, and some more came out. I thought, oh, this is really good. I hit it again, and more money's coming out. And now my wife's going, the first time, honey, you shouldn't be doing this. Honey, you can't do this. I go, but honey, this could be the Lord. She ended up dragging me away. Well, I had money. And I went down to the Carillion Arcade, and I think they're still there, the food halls. And we went down to the food hall, and we had dinner. That was all right, wasn't it? Just, you know, sometimes when things are tight, you have some fun. Sometimes it's some of the best fun that you have when things are tight and you don't have much. Really, it really is. I remember another time we were driving along Great Eastern Highway, and we were hungry. So let's get something. We felt like some Chinese. And we just had some coins in the little coin box that you got. And we just had enough for a small little fried Chinese. We went into this Chinese restaurant to get a takeaway. And so I paid for more, and I could only get a small one. That's all I had. I know they must have felt such compassion for me. They gave me a big one. I remember walking out, and I could see them like giving it to me in compassion. I think they might, I don't know if they were Christians, but I could just see, you know, enjoy this, you know. And I don't know what they thought about us, but I knew they thought that we didn't have much, but we went away, we had that together, didn't we? We had some fun, didn't we? That was good. So can we have the music team come up, please? So here we have, right, the children of Israel, and they've lost everything. They're a nation, they've lost their land. They've even lost their Torah. They've lost the law of Moses. They've lost everything. Let's have a look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5. Let's have a look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10. So they're all together. All the children of Israel, they come. They found the Torah. They found the Word of God. And Ezra stands up. And he's about to deliver the word. And the people, there's a whole generation of people that have not heard the word of God. They lost the word. They lost the Torah. And so this is like, wow. Wow, just like this setting here. Ezra gets up. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see in him, could see him, because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, And the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." Because all the people had been weeping as they were listening to the word of the Lord. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. This day is holy to our God." So he's telling them, don't mourn. Don't be unhappy. Cook the finest food. You love your meat, cook your meat and celebrate. Enjoy life. You know, we serve a living God who does want us to enjoy life. He wants us to celebrate. It's not always about grieving and about suffering. There is some of that, obviously. But God is saying something more here. There's something, you know, there's trials, different ones, and there's joy. What is this? There's a joy. There's a joy that comes from God. The joy that comes from God. And then he tells them, "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's stand up. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength and joy are the same thing. Joy is an essence inside of you. It's not separate from strength. It's all in one. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So my challenge, my encouragement today is, when you are faced with trials, don't step back. Press forward. Press forward. Say, "God, I see this as a green light. You're doing something here. What is it? Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom." The Bible says, ask for wisdom. He'll give it to you. Not wavering. Don't be double-minded. Say, "Lord, I thank you for wisdom. I receive that." So we take the challenge. Whatever trial you're going through today, don't let go. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. Doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. Doesn't mean he doesn't care about you. It does not mean he is not with you. He's wanting to develop you. He's wanting to bring something out in you that is worth gold. He's wanting to build inside of you maturity and character. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. All the people stood up. They began to worship God. They began to sing to him. And I want us just to spend some time just singing and worshiping him. God wants to touch you this morning. He wants to encourage you this morning. He is for you. He is not against you. God is for you. He is not against you. He's working things for you. You do not know what he's doing in the background. You don't see the whole picture. Many times I have not seen the whole picture. And it's not until later you go, wow, okay. Yeah, now I get it.